The following is presented by Maranatha Bible Church of Comstock Park, Michigan. For more information, go to mbcmi.org.
Just a monumental evening for us to be able to gather together and to remember our Savior. We're here to do what you've just heard. We're here to come adore Him. We're here to bow before Him. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there is no one worthy of exaltation and worship as our King is. And so we are boldly and unashamed about the fact that we are here to exalt not ourselves, not the musicians, not the vocalists, not even the kids' choir. We are here to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the message that we want you to hear loud and clear tonight. This is about Christ. This is what we are celebrating. We are celebrating the greatest birth in human history. And kids are born all the time. It seems like there's hundreds born here every year. But there is something special about this birth 2,000 years ago. On that night in Bethlehem, Christ added humanity to his deity. And he lost nothing of his deity. He divested nothing of who he is in his godness. He emptied himself not by subtraction, he emptied himself by addition. Not by losing anything of his divine attributes, but by adding to his divine nature another nature, a human nature. So that in Christ we have one person with two natures. This is a mystery that our finite minds cannot fathom. We cannot comprehend this glorious but marvelous reality that in Jesus Christ there is the God-man. And I want you to listen to just a few people who have described this, trying to capture what essentially it is that we are worshiping and gathered together here tonight to do. Mark Jones says this: what are the most shocking words in the scriptures? Questions like this are usually impossible to answer, but the words of John 1:14 would certainly rank among the highest for shock value for a first century Jew. The idea that Yahweh became flesh was considered blasphemy. The incarnation is God's greatest wonder, one that no creature could have ever imagined. God himself could not perform a more difficult and glorious work. It has justly been called the miracle of miracles. That's true. James Usher said this: the incarnation is the highest pitch of God's wisdom, goodness, power, and glory. Thomas Goodwin said this: when the Son became flesh, heaven and earth met and kissed one another, namely God and man. And Herman Bavinck said this: it is completely incomprehensible to us how God can reveal himself and to some extent make himself known in created beings. Listen to this: eternity in time, immensity in space, infinity in the finite, immutability and change, being in becoming, the all, as it were, in that which is nothing. This mystery cannot be comprehended. It can only be gratefully acknowledged. And I want to ask you tonight, do you acknowledge this mystery? The most glorious mystery in the universe. How God became a man. This is the spirit of Christmas. This is what this is all about. And sadly, most people will celebrate Christmas and miss the entire meaning. There will be presents and there will be parties and there will be gatherings and there will be traditions and they will celebrate the holiday and they will miss the reality. And this is nothing new. This is what happened the night Jesus was born and the days surrounding his arrival here on earth. Most people missed it. In fact, I want you to think about this for just a moment. I'm going to list some of the people who missed it entirely. The innkeeper missed it. Luke 2, verse 7 says, she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The innkeeper, who could have housed Joseph and Mary and been there when the Savior arrived in this earth, completely missed it. He was busy housing people for the Roman census. He was preoccupied. He was more interested in the people coming into his inn and more interested in taking care of them and meeting their needs and maybe making a profit. He missed it entirely, what took place that night. There are others who missed it. The Jewish leaders, of course, missed it. They were more interested, of course, in their entire religious system, their self-righteousness. They had been waiting for centuries for a deliverer, looking for the Messiah. And yet, when Herod says to them, "We have heard that the king has been born, the Savior has been born in Bethlehem," they could have traveled the 2 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem to see, but they weren't interested whatsoever. They were self-righteous. They had no room for the Son of God in their system. He didn't fit in their system because their system didn't accommodate this. Oh, they wanted a Messiah, but they didn't see a need for a Savior because they didn't understand that they were sinners in need of rescue. So they missed it. Completely missed it. Isn't this what people do today? They don't sense a need for the Savior. He doesn't fit into their system. They're too busy with other things, and they're too preoccupied with their own self-righteousness. They're good enough, they think. They don't realize that they're sinners, and so they ignore the remedy because they don't understand the problem that they have. Sin that separates us from a holy God. And so it's not just the Jewish leaders that miss it through their self-righteousness. It is many people today. So the innkeeper missed it. The Jewish leaders missed it. So did the crowds. Millions of people, perhaps, in Jerusalem. And just 2 miles away, the Savior's born. And they don't care. We have no record of anyone really going out to Bethlehem to see what took place. The masses of people in Jerusalem missed it entirely because of their religion, because they were too busy just going through their religious system, checking off the boxes, external requirements, and fulfilling all the external rituals that they thought that would make them acceptable to a holy God. They were working through hoops and checking off boxes, and they didn't see their need for this Messiah, and so they had a false sense of spiritual security, steeped in their religious activities, and there are people like this today. They'll go to church, they'll do some religious things, they might even get baptized, but it's all external. There's no heart for Christ. No sense of the deep need for forgiveness from their sin. And so they missed it entirely. So did the Romans. They missed it. Luke chapter 2 tells us, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria." They weren't interested in this. They were busy counting people for the census. They were interested in what amount of tax they could levy against the people. And they were in no need of this Messiah because they had a panoply of gods that they were worshiping. There was no need for this Jesus. He didn't fit into their system. How many people don't do this today? They've got their own gods. Power, sex, religion, status, prestige, money. People worshiping all kinds of idols in their hearts. There's another person who missed it. was Herod, the king. He was told this Jesus was born. Matthew chapter 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." He pretended to want to worship Jesus, but he didn't. He was fearful, jealous, afraid of what this baby king might do to his rule. And so, as you know, he slaughtered all the babies, 2 years old and younger, in that region to eliminate any threat to his throne. There's many people like this today. They're fearful of what receiving Jesus into their life might do, how it might cramp their style, how it might cause them to give up their own plans and their own priorities, afraid of Christ's lordship, afraid of what their lives might need to change in order to come under his lordship. And so many refuse to come today out of fear. And so all those people missed it. Totally missed it. And I would submit to you that most people in our culture in the next 10 days are going to miss it as well. And I want to ask you, are you going to be one of them? You see, there was a group that night that got it. There was a group who understood, and it's the theme of our night, while shepherds watched. They were out in their fields, and they received this incredible message from the angel. Luke 2, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And what did they do? As soon as they heard this message, what did they do? I love the response that the scripture tells us. I just want to draw these things out very quickly. Three things they did. First, it was an immediate response. Luke 2 says that when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. They didn't waste any time. As soon as they hear this message, they say, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem." It's about 2 miles away. It might have taken 30, 45 minutes. And I wish Luke would have given us a little more detail. What do you think they said? What do you think their conversation was like as they're traveling on the road to Bethlehem to meet this child, the Savior, the Messiah? I just wonder what they were talking about. Verse 16 says, "They came in a hurry, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger." And I wonder what it was like when they showed up in Bethlehem. How'd they find baby Jesus? Maybe they knocked on some doors. Maybe they asked around. It was probably night. And I wonder what it was like when they finally walk into the place where Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus were. Imagine that moment. They must have been startled by the fact that the angel spoke to them. They must have been overwhelmed at the sight of the multitude of angels filling the sky. And they then went and made careful search and inquiry around Bethlehem, finally finding the very thing that they were looking for. And there in the manger is Jesus, the child king. I can only imagine the joy that flooded their hearts. This was an immediate response. They had to go quickly. It was also an evangelistic response. After seeing Christ, Luke 2:17 says, when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. These were the first evangelists. They saw Jesus, and for the first time, they go out and tell people that he's arrived and he's here. And it doesn't tell us who they told, but I have to presume it was the people in Bethlehem. This was the greatest news they had ever heard. And when you have the greatest news in the world, you can't keep it to yourself. Right, Christian? You got to tell somebody. And you got to share it with people. This message that transforms lives and brings life and brings hope and gives joy and forgiveness of sin. This is what their response was. It was a spontaneous, enthusiastic witness that had to occur as a result of seeing what they just saw. Immediate response, an evangelistic response. Lastly, a worshipful response. Luke 2:20 says, the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as had been told them. How in the world do you go back to sheep and shepherding after that? How in the world do you come face to face with the Savior of the world, the true King of Kings, and then have to go back to cleaning up after sheep? But it says they went back glorifying and praising God. Worship. Worship. This is the response to Christmas. This is the response to this message. They got it. They understood it. And they went back, and their hearts were so full of joy that they couldn't contain themselves. And what erupted out of them was a heart of worship and praise and adoration and exaltation for the Lord Jesus Christ. And their lives were never the same. Most of all, those other people missed it. And the shepherds got it. And so I'm just going to ask you point blank, are you going to miss it? Or are you going to be like the shepherds? And I just want to ask you, do you know this King? Do you know this one that we are celebrating tonight? Is he just a religious figure that perhaps you're interested in and you think maybe he's a good model that we are to follow? Or do you know this Christ? Do you have a relationship with this Christ? Because that's what matters most. Have you trusted him as your Lord and Savior? And this is where you have to understand, and I have to understand, he came to rescue sinners. That's what you are. That's what I am. Lost, depraved, wretched sinners who have disobeyed our God who has created us. He gave us the law. He laid down the standard. We have all stepped across that. We have violated his law. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. And that is the bad news. And you must understand the bad news before you can appreciate the good news. You're not good. And I'm not good. And your goodness will not get you to heaven because there are none righteous, none who seek after God. And so you will never, ever, ever reach a point where God finally says, oh, you know what? You've done enough. You're good enough. Let's let you into heaven. That is not the gospel. That is the message of works righteousness. And that saves nobody. And so the gospel starts with the bad news that we're all sinners. We've all lost our way. We've all sinned against a holy God, and because of that, he must punish sin. In his righteousness and in his holiness, he must punish those who do not trust him as Lord and Savior, and in his holiness, he must deliver justice to those with an eternity apart from him, separated from him. And yet the good news that you're hearing tonight is God made a way for sinners to be right with him by, first of all, condescending to us, taking on human flesh, walking this earth, living a perfect life, going to a cross where he died in our place for sins that he did not commit. It's for our sins. And he rose from the dead, victorious over the grave and over sin and death 3 days later, and he has risen back to heaven where he sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he will come back someday. And he will either be your Savior or he will be your judge. And so if you really want to know Christmas, if you truly want to not miss it, if you truly want to be like the shepherds who got it, the way to do that is to know this Savior, to repent of your sin, to trust him as your Lord, to commit your life to him, to obey him, to trust him fully for all that he has laid out in the scriptures, and to live your life for his glory, exchanging your crown for his. And if that's your heart and that's the way you've responded, you will be his child, granted with his forgiveness, given his righteousness, so that when God sees you, he sees you now, not in your sin, but he sees you robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is the message of the gospel. That is the spirit of Christmas. And we would love nothing more than to introduce you to this Savior. If you do not know him, if you have questions about this, there are tons of people sitting around you who would love to speak with you about this. Don't leave here tonight until you know where your eternity will be. It will be in one of two places, either apart from Christ, separated from him for all eternity, or with Christ because of your embracing of him as your Lord and Savior. This is our focus. This is our joy. And we'd love nothing more than for you to know this Savior. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this message of the gospel, the good news, the best news in the world. And we thank you that you have given us your Son. We thank you that you've not left us in darkness. We thank you that you've not caused us to just keep clamoring and trying harder and harder and harder. But God, you've given us yourself, and you've laid your life down for us. And now you promise that all who trust you will receive your righteousness. And so we pray, Lord, for each individual here watching online, we pray that you would draw them to yourself, that they would stop trying to earn your favor through their good works, but they would truly come to see that the only way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those of us who know you, Lord, help us to meditate on these realities. Help us to know these truths, and help us to be like the shepherds who worship you and give you the glory and the praise that you are worthy of. We thank you for this time that we can celebrate in music and in scripture, reminding ourselves of this greatest message in the world. And we commit this time to you now, the rest of it in your name. Amen.
You've been listening and presented at Maranatha Bible Church in Comstock Park, Michigan, where we exist to display God's glory, declare God's truth, delight in God's Son, and disciple God's people. No part of this digital file may be reproduced or distributed without prior written consent. For permission, go to mbcmi.org.